That's for the church specifically. Just remain just in this attitude of worship. You can just stay in the front if you're here.
While we were worshiping, I just like saw everyone looking to the front, and it was like everyone's faces were just shining together to the Lord. And then I was thinking about it and praying about it. I was like, okay, Lord, is it your light that's shining on us? Or, and then the Lord just said that it's Him shining through us, and He wants to use us to go and shine out there. Like together in here, we're like this huge, big light, but out there, we can bring light to so many dark spots. Can you just close your eyes with me? God, thank you so much for your heart for us, Lord. And yeah, thank you so much that you reside in us, Lord, that we can be your living light, Lord. And we thank you for the honor that we can live your light, Lord. And yeah, we just want to pray that you use us, Lord, that we can be your instruments, Lord. And yeah, take us to those dark spots, Lord. And we want to bring, yeah, we want to just glorify your name and just save people in your name, Lord. Amen.
I'm just going to pray for you guys at the front here. Thank you, God, that you say to them that when they've been their knees before you, a mark becomes visible on their backs. And this is a mark that you've painted there. It's like this red and bright stripe of a paint of your blood, almost, Lord. You've marked on them, Lord, and that mark is a mark of faithfulness and a claiming of their lives, Lord. And thank you, Lord. I pray that they will see this mark on their backs, Lord. That they would see that when they bend their knees, Lord, that you show to them that I am faithful, that you are faithful, Father, and that you have marked them, Lord. And you say to them that you are mine. You belong to me. I've bought you, and I will remain faithful to you. And this is my promise to you. That's what you're saying to them, Father. And I just pray for them, God. I pray that they will continue bending their knees before you, Lord. And we just thank you and glorify you because you are the King of our lives.
I just had this vision of this man standing on an edge of a river, and it was a scary and daunting sight to see because this river was in flood, and behind this man was desert, and that for me was an area of his life that he was so accustomed to. He was so going back and forth into that desert that he didn't want to let go of that desert. It was something that He knew he had to step out over this river and into that promised land. But he has become so accustomed to that river, to that desert, that it was such a difficult thing to do. And yeah, I just feel that there's a lot of us, and I'm including myself in that, where we struggle to trust God and to really say, God, I know this is going to cost my life if I'm going to step onto this river, if I'm going to step out. And It's scary, but the promised land of God is really out there, and He wants us to really live in that area where we trust Him, and we are not satisfied with just going around in the desert and just having our manna every day and just getting by. But God wants us to live in a life in abundance and to live a life of victory and not just get by. So I'm just going to pray for us for that. Now, Father God, we come before you tonight, Lord, and God, we ask you to forgive us, Lord, of turning our backs, Lord, to you, Lord, and sometimes just running back to that Egypt mentality, Lord, running back to the desert, wanting to go into the desert again, and feeling safe there because it's not really challenging us, it's keeping us in a safe place, and we're not really stepping out. But Lord, tonight we come, Lord, and I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you will give us the faith, that you will give us the courage, Lord. Lord, to really step out, Lord. It's sometimes almost that I feel that we have to just jump in, Lord, and you will provide, Lord, an outcome. Lord, you will provide, Lord, that we will get to the other side. But Lord, it will cost our lives. And Father God, I pray for us, Lord, that we will really trust you, Lord. That we, Father, we know that there is more, Father, in you. That there is more to life than this, Lord. And God, we don't want to settle for second best, Lord. We don't want to settle for just getting by in the desert. But Lord, we know that there's a promised land, and that's where you are. That's where you are standing with your sword raised. And you say, are you ready to be in this army? Are you ready to fight this fight of faith? Lord, we don't want to be mediocre, Lord. We want to be radical, Lord. We want to be really far. Yeah, Father, just being your army, Lord, and really shining, Lord, and not just getting by, Lord. God, I pray in Jesus' name, I pray for us for faith. Father, that's more precious than gold, than refinest gold, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Pingo. Amen, church. You know, the time I was praying there, the time people sing this church songs there, they take me somewhere. I was somewhere where I saw the people wearing white. Everybody was wearing white. I was not in a church anymore, but I was there and I was joying. The time we said, hallelujah, hallelujah, they take me somewhere. Like I'm going to heaven. I'm praying God that I'm here today. As if they, like I saw something. It was coming to my heart. I'm happy.
Yes, Father, I just want to pray over this church. A week ago, you showed me this vision, God, of how we all sit and you come and you send your Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit dwells among us. And I thank you, Father, that as the Holy Spirit touches us, we start to receive your healing. And this Sunday you showed me this picture of joy, Father. It was as if we're in that McDonald's playpen of thousands of colorful balls falling from heaven. And we're just rejoicing in you, Father. And tonight we come as a congregation and we receive your joy, Father. We choose to receive your joy and start operating out of that strength, Lord God. We thank you in Matthew, you say that we should have faith like children, and we ask for that faith tonight, Father. I thank you also that you're saying to this church that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And Father, we rejoice in your word and we rejoice in your promises and in your truth in the name of Jesus. Amen.
As we were sitting in front here, I saw this picture. I was reminded of Hosea and how God, no matter how many times we run away and no matter how many times we go back into that desert and keep on go another 40 years or whatever, but God is never going to stop fighting for us. And he's always going to try and win our love back. And he's always going to try and romance us again and say, you know what, you're the love of my soul and I want to be the love of your soul. And that's just what I had for the church. He's never going to give up on any of us, ever.
Amen. You're allowed to take your seat or stay where you're at. I'm not going to force you to do anything. Praise the Lord. God is alive and He's living amongst us. Look, Durban must be empty. Because every week I see more Durban citizens in Cape Town. I think from now on we'll call the first road Durban. So Rian, you and Gerda and you guys, are you from Durban? Yeah, you can stay there next week. My wife must go one row back. It's lovely to have everyone here tonight. Are you glad to be here? Enjoying the Lord's presence? Amen. It's a house of love, this. It's not a house of pain or strife or competition. It's a place where we get healed. It's a place where we make friends and where we are family. If you're here for the first time, I want to just tell you where we're at the moment. This month, we're really gearing towards the world outside. We're really equipping this church into going to wherever you live, wherever you study, wherever you work, so that you can share the good news with those around you. And also, especially tonight, is here to help you share with other people, to show you what is the most important things. What do you share first if someone comes to Christ, and what can you maybe not share from the start? You know, when you come to God, you've got a lot of questions, but the Bible is a thick book. And we know in school that it takes us a whole year to get through that biology book. And you can't do the whole chapter in one night, but some things are more important than others. Therefore, we start somewhere. And so that's the main purpose of tonight. What is the most important things for a Christian to learn if they get saved tonight, if they commit their lives to God tonight, what is the most important things? Where do we start? And I think if you can store tonight's message or basics in your heart, and especially read scripture and remember where it is, you can, will always be ready to share the gospel, doesn't matter where you are. Amen? And that is the purpose of tonight. So, I was speaking to a man this weekend. He's a leader in another church, and I was so blessed by the conversation. And so he asked me, what is the first thing that you will share to another person when they want to come to God? Or if you want to testify. And I said, I will speak to them about repentance, about being blood washed, about being new, receiving new life. And he said, that's not wrong, but he would say that comes second. And I said, okay, so what would you put first? And I was not ready to hear this one. I thought, this is going to be interesting. So he said, God chose Genesis 1 verse 1, or let's say the first few chapters of Genesis, as the first few lines as how he would introduce himself. Because that's how it is. Genesis is number one. And then he qualified what he said. He said it's important for people to understand that God created an environment where we could be with him safe. No death, no striving, not even one animal killing another animal. Perfect peace in the Garden of Eden with God walking with them every day. That was God's plan for us. And if a human being can get that, they will understand that God's heart is actually love. To love me, to be with me, to see me make life. God is love. But now we know what happened. Adam and Eve fell and we got separated from God. And now God is on the way back to create a new earth for us. And that's where salvation comes in. That's where repentance comes in. God's effort to bring us back to him. To say, I still love you, but now because you messed up, I will move on your behalf. Because I want to still walk with you day by day. I want to still care for you. I want to still love you. And God wants to open our eyes to see that. Does that make sense? But you know, the first thing the devil does is he tells people in the world that he does not exist, the devil. Because if the devil does not exist, you know what? Everything is God's fault. Everything bad, everything dangerous, death, pain, everything must be God's fault because he doesn't exist. But the fact is he does. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Christ says, I've come to give you life and life in abundance. And that's a good way to start if someone asks about God. God is love and he wants to be with us. But we are not with him automatically. Let's read together in Matthew 7 verse 24. Hey Matt, how's that? I choose the book Matthew. Are you happy with that? Okay, cool. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell and great was the fall of it. Tonight, there's two types of people in this world. Those who are reconciled with God and those who are not yet reconciled. Hopefully not yet reconciled. God needs to do two things in every heart on this earth. Number one, he needs to wash them. That's when this happens. Lord, I give my life to you. I've been messing up this, this, and this. I've tried life. It doesn't work. Please forgive me. I believe you there. I believe you died. I believe your blood. covers my sins. And if that comes from the heart, that's what we call being born again. But that's only the first move God makes. The second thing that God needs to do to every human is He needs to keep him. He needs to make sure that person stays in the faith and does not fall away. Now, if we only put the emphasis on the first process of being born again, which we often do, what happens is the enemy comes and steals a lot of souls from among us. It's like the seed that fell on a certain ground. It came up fast, but there was no depth. So when the enemy came with temptations and life got tough and the storm came, that seed just goes to waste. It goes down the drain. So tonight comes down to that point. If someone comes to you and say, you know what, I need God tonight. And they pray that prayer and they say, God, I don't know, I'm scared. I don't know if I can do it, but I know I've got nowhere else to go. Then after that being blood washed, a foundation needs to be built. If a foundation is not laid in that person's life, they will not last. They will fall away. When? When the first storm comes, or maybe the second. If their born again or salvation or blood wash experience is not followed up by building on the rock, which is Christ, there's trouble. Are you with me? What is the foundations of the faith? What is the most important thing? So verse 20, 24 says in Matthew 7, everyone who hears these words and does them will be like a wise man built on a rock. You know what? If you know anything, you won't impress anyone. You can know the whole Bible inside out. It does not mean anything except that you know the Bible. The Pharisees knew more than anyone. They studied that thing. Biblical knowledge can help you, but it can also be totally meaningless to you. You can be a professor in studying theology. It does not mean you're a Christian by knowing it. But those who hear the word and does it will be like a house that is built on the rock. How do we get that rock? How do we get that system in place? How do we build that foundation? Next slide. Let me give you a quick overview. Next slide. Thanks, Fred. Right. More or less, every believer, everyone that has prayed that prayer of forgiveness, will be somewhere in that, let's call it a growth explanation. Your conversion is the process where you receive Christ. That's zero. Because you know what? Human beings doesn't have a lot to do with that. That's God. If you are here tonight and you know God, you must know that God is the one that draws you through that door. Amen? You don't know how you got here the first night. You don't know why you came. I mean, who comes to church in any ways? You know what? People come that God draws in. That's God's work. As soon as a person gives their life to God, we come in big time. Big time. Grounding in Christ, just quickly, growing in Christ. That is when a believer comes in, they receive God, and suddenly church is amazing because now their heart is open. So they hear the message and it's amazing. They can talk about it for the whole week. They come to church again next week because church just is amazing. How can this Bible make sense? Because now for 5 years, it didn't make sense at all. So they're being grounded in Christ, and mostly it will be in the sense of coming to church and getting the word in their heads or going to Bible school. Knowledge. Knowledge is the key word there. Then maturing would be after Yanni now comes to church, Bible schools, and he loves just being changed, and the word is washing him, and he's excited. Now he realizes that he works from 8 to 5 every day, and he's kind of tired, which means if he is going to read the word and pray, he's going to have to wake up 1 hour earlier every day. And now that is a problem. So what happens in the maturing phase is that a person now applies some discipline to their faith. I need to now wake up 6 o'clock every morning. Man, that's like... But now they wake up and they spend time with God. So what's happening? Because they are making decisions that involves discipline, they are growing. They're not just like sheep, just like, okay, here's some grass, I'll eat it. You know, they're becoming more like, I must think through being a Christian. I must think through this, and it's going to cost me a few things. And they make those disciplined decisions. They start to say no for certain things that they know is not good for them. It's discipline. It's hard. Many people don't grow there. Many people just stay at grounding. Now, no one can tell you, yeah, you're there, but use it for yourself. Okay, because you want to grow. That's why you're here. Otherwise, you would have stayed at home. Watch the 8 o'clock movie. Although it sucks these days. Anyways. Leadership, or Christ-centered, that's a place where your identity becomes more one with Christ. You see yourself as a follower of Christ. You don't mind if people mock you because you're a Christian. You want to make decisions that reflect that you and Christ are one, and you just go for it. Now, I want to show this in another way because... Well, let me leave it for the end. Okay, just to give you an overview. Now, tonight is all about number one. It's all about number one. I can't teach you discipline in church. What must I do? Force you to wake up at 6? I can't do that. I can't teach you to make good decisions in your life. If someone invites you to a place where you know you should not go, or you know you should actually be at another place, I can't answer that for you. It's up to you. But what we can do for one another is make sure that the grounding, number one, happens among us. Now, there was a situation in biblical times that exactly this was happening. Peter was preaching for the first time after they've received the Holy Spirit. Now Peter, the bungbroek that denied Christ, is filled with the Holy Spirit, and suddenly he is bold, and now he's preaching. And he's telling those people about God that died, Jesus is the Son of God, and they can be saved. And we read then Acts chapter 2 verse 36, I'm just skipping the whole sermon. This is just the last verse. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him, that which is Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now the crowd is there. That's where they're standing. And they're saying, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. God touched them. That's what happened there. They were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest, now what should we do? We're sorry about everything we did. Maybe some of them was there crucifying Christ, spitting on him, and they were cut to the heart. They were ready to repent. So they asked Peter, what must we do? What is the first thing for us to do? Number one, where do we start as of now? And Peter answers and he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to read on another few verses. Now see what happens. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort him. That's to encourage them. Saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. Quite a mouthful. I'm just going to break that down. Being established in God, or being grounded, number one of those little steps, has got three aspects, A, B, and C. Number one, you need to be established in the faith. It's kind of a fuzzy term. What does it mean to be established in the faith? You need to be established in the most basics of basics of basics of Christianity. By the way, also the most powerful. So don't get fooled by basics being something simple. Because if you miss this, you will fall away. If, in fact, you are saved. If you don't build on this, I don't know if you were lost. I say this honest, because this is what Peter gives as foundation. So he says, number one, repent. Number two, be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we establish this among us? Someone comes to church, first time, right? They come to the front, often they say, one of you guys are maybe standing here, say, saying, Rian, man, I need to receive God now. I've been wasting my life away. My life is going nowhere. Pray for me. So Rian prays for him, and he repents of his sins. Now what needs to happen is we need to build that person up. We need to build a foundation. So within that week, apart from cell, Rian needs to go to that person, give him a Bible if he doesn't have one, and open the Word. Then, Rian, you must read to him why he must repent. Why must I repent? I was actually not such a bad person. I mean, I'm not as worse as those people. Explain to them. Romans 3:23 says, all have fallen short of the glory. We cannot attain to God by works. But read it to him in the Word, verse by verse. So he sees and he understands why he needs to repent. And then you take one or two or three sessions and you just speak about God's grace. What does grace mean? It's something undeserving. In other words, you're not saved because you did something good when you were small. Or, you know, it's just a gift. But you read it in Scripture. You don't like drink coffee and like, yeah, you know what, grace is so awesome. Open the Bible and show it to them. If you don't know where it stands in the Bible, make a plan. Get one of those Foundation 1 booklets. Everything is in there. And read it. And show it to them. Because people need to know. We can't just say to someone, believe. Because next thing, a guy there from the Mother God Society, which is a society, comes and tell you how you must believe that. Now, you know, must I believe this or that? That's why we open the Bible. And we read from the Bible. Next thing, he's like, yo, I understand grace now. I understand repentance. What now? Now you open your Bible and you read about baptism. What is baptism? Why did Jesus get baptized, man? He didn't even commit one sin in his whole life. Well, one reason at least is he got baptized because he was establishing his identity. Because right after he got baptized, God spoke and he said, that's my son. And whom I'm well pleased. Why did he get baptized? He's just a good example for us. The moment when we get baptized, the Bible says we associate with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. But you must read it. Romans 6, you must read it to the people. To that new person, so that he can see you read it from the Word. And then you send him home and he reads it on his own. So step by step, you are establishing a foundation in someone's life. And then number three, you do the same with the Holy Spirit. It'll take a few sessions. But you sit down again and you read from the Word. And then afterwards you pray with him. Every time you say, now let's pray together. Then they'll say, oh, I can't pray, man. I'm too shy. I say, don't worry, man. Let me tell you what, I'll pray tonight and then you just say after me. Because you just want to encourage them to get them lips moving. Or you just say thank you for God for something. Do you have a car? Yes, all right, so let's thank God for your car. So you're teaching them to have a thankful heart. But that sitting down and opening the Bible is crucial. Because spending that time with that person is going to mean whether they are going to determine whether they're going to spend time with God or not. Because they are seeing you handling the Bible. They're seeing you reading one verse, the next, and making sense of it. Amen? A, establish them in the faith. Tien's made a comment last week, and it shocked me. He said, you cannot be a disciple if you're not baptized. And I thought, how can you say that? I know great people that has not been baptized. But I understand why he's saying that. Because when you get baptized, you're going to take shots. Because maybe your parents are going to ask you, what's wrong with you? But you're going to need to stand for Christ someday, sometime. And Tim's argument is just, if you can't even stand for Christ within these walls, the believers, and get baptized and say, I associate myself. That's another thing. If you get baptized, you associate yourself with Christ. Your friends come, they know you're baptized. Where are you going? Come with us to Tiger. Now I'm getting baptized. What? What's that? Now come and look. But if we can't establish our identity by going down, boof. You know what's going to happen out there when the first storm comes? It's like your house on the sand. Because now when someone wants to give you money under the table in your business, you take it because you can't stand for anything. And then one day it catches you and you just fall off the bus. You can't be a disciple if you're not baptized. It's the only country maybe in the world where there's another thing that's taking... No, that won't be a lie, but there's a small percentage of Christians today that does not baptize. Very small in the whole world. Where something else have taken the position of being properly baptized. That was the first thing they did. Not the last. The first thing they associated with Christ. Bang. That's who I am. My life, my walk with Christ began when I got baptized. I fell off the bus so many times. If I was not baptized, I would not be here tonight. Because you know why? I got baptized the day before I went to Stellenbosch, first year. And I had plans for the women on that campus. I'm just being honest. But God got me under before I went. And I never ever looked back. Never ever in my life did I look back after 9 years ago when I got baptized. People stood there. They watched me go down and up. I went up and never looked back. Maybe you're one of those people. You're on the bus, off the bus, on the bus. You need to make a commitment, but a commitment is one thing. It needs to be followed by building a foundation. Amen? Why must you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? What's the difference between having the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit? You need to find those things out. We can't go deep into everything, but we'll teach you that. Someone will teach you that. The Bible says in Acts 1 verse 8 that, let me just wait for my friend to come past. Thank you. The disciples didn't mean, you know what they were worth as Christians before they got baptized? They denied Jesus. They go back to fishing. They forget everything he says when he dies. But the moment when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, their ministry started. Next day, 3,000 people got saved. If you want to be an effective disciple, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It means you have to say, God, I need more of you. Just come do a work, because I can't do it. If your prayer in your heart is, I want more of God, you know what God is going to give you? He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. Because that's the way we get filled with Him, drenched with Him. Because God is not here. He's in heaven. The Holy Spirit is here. He's here through His Spirit. Go and read an exhibit if what I'm saying sounds like Chinese right now. But being filled with the Holy Spirit is a different experience than being saved. Okay? There will be some people in front which you can pray for. But it's a foundation of the church. According to Peter. It's the first thing he told them about. Right. Number two. So that was A. A actually has got three things. You must be saved. You must be baptized. You must receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's if you want to go full out. If you don't want to go full out, you mustn't bother with any of those. Okay? That was just a joke. There's no one here that's like that. B, you need to be established in the church. If you're not established in the church, the storm is going to come and it's going to clap you. You won't be able to get up. If you are a person, and I'm speaking straight, that's got a tendency to criticize the church, repent of it fast. It's going to take you down, what's going on in your heart. The church is Christ's bride. He will fight for the church like I will fight for my wife. You come with stories, I take you out. It's my wife. The church is Christ's bride. He is busy purifying the church. It's a process. But He's busy with her. He loves her. When Jesus called the disciples. Okay, so He's walking and there's like three guys behind Him. He's like, Peter, come. Next one, come. You don't have the option to follow Christ on your own. You're not like, go you guys. Go and fish. I'm going to follow Christ. I'm his blah. It's not how it works. You join the others. And you become family. There's tough times together. There's great times together. Okay? But Christ calls us into a team from the start. So those who received his word were baptized and they were added. Added to what? Added to the current believers. They're at the bottom. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. There was a what did they have in common? Christ. That's it. Doesn't matter who you are today, who your dad is, or what company you work for. You are either blood washed or not. Therefore, if you come in here and we bow our knees to God, we've got everything in common because we're all washed. That's it. That's your identity. That's also why baptism is such a good thing, because if you're the main Kunane in Cape Town, you don't want to be associated with Jesus because you're the main Kunane. You are the owner of that hotel and everything. But to associate with Christ is a very humbling thing. And to associate with the church is a very humbling thing as well. Because you have to deal with a pastor that can't speak English properly. And then you have to deal with a secretary that's too friendly over the phone. And then you have a cell leader that's known the Lord only 1 month. But at least he's willing to take a cell. But he's not as spiritual as you. You have to deal with all these things. And God makes it like that on purpose. Because those who stuck it through is going to make it to the end. Because they're busy building. You know, they're building a foundation. You struggle with someone in church, you sort it out. It's just part of laying the next brick in the foundation. You become strong. The very next day, after they were baptized, they became part of the church. New friends. Whether they were Greek or from Rome, it doesn't matter. Or Jews, they just had to. They had their problems. Read the Bible a bit. The Jews had a lot of problems with the people because they thought they were the main Kunena. So Paul had to write to them and say, you know what? You're not. God's grace is for everyone. So you're all the same. And they had to take it. So we've got our problems, but you know what? Christ in us is a lot bigger than any problem. Amen? So once again, we do the same thing. And we sit with them. Now we've been filled with the Spirit. And now we talk to them. Like from the Bible. Romans 12 says, the church is God's body, man. And the one is the eye and the one is the leg. And you read it to them. And you're like, you know what? The reason maybe you think that you don't belong in church is because you're so different. But I want to tell you the reason you belong in church is because you're so different. God wants the church to be so different. Look here, one the eye, one the leg, one the ear. You know, some people is more spiritual than others. Some people, they just read the word and they stand on it and they bear massive fruit. Other people walk into church the first few weeks, see 10 visions and 20 spiritual experiences. Hey, Wade? God works different with all of us. But together, we work. Because God put it that way. So you sit with Pity that came to church 3 weeks ago and you read to him examples. Where Christ said, I will build my church. What is a church? The word ecclesia means people come out from their houses and they meet together. That's what the word church meant. First time used by Jesus. He was the first one to use the word church. These people that comes out from their homes and they meet together. Each one putting their own agenda to the back, and then he gets worshipped. And then what do we get? We get peace. And we light on our shoulders, and we come and lay our sins in the front. And you know what? We walk out here, and we're ready for life. Planned by God. He's a mastermind. Once again, we teach him out of the word. Number two, we celebrate people. That's for the members. We celebrate new people. They must understand they're welcome here. This is not a clique. This is an open door house. Anyone can come in here and drink the coffee and eat the cake there at the back. Anyone, please. And we must model. And then what we must do is when we disciple people, And it's hard for me because I'm kind of a leader in the church, but you must model respectful leaders when you disciple someone. Otherwise, where will they learn it? We can't stand here in the front and say, you must respect your leaders. It must come from the church. They must teach people. They must pray. You must pray for your leaders when you're discipling someone because you're showing them, you're teaching them something. Amen? And you're laying strong foundations in someone's life. Is this helping? See, third thing, such an easy sermon. Again, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them. Now, if you can establish someone in the faith, A, baptism, repentance, and Holy Spirit, you speak about the church, you just use the word, you know what's going to happen by itself? You're going to establish that person in the word. That person is going to become a Bible-reading Christian. Because from the first meeting, you open the Bible. You don't come with stories and experiences and visions. That will come. You just speak Scripture. And in the process, you are establishing that person in the Word. And I told the story this morning as well. This week, I was just preparing for the sermon, and I knew I had to do that and that. And just suddenly, I was just overwhelmed with fear and intimidation. But like, it came on me like something that came and sat on my shoulder, just suddenly. And I believe a lot of us feels like that sometimes, just like sudden depression. And then I just remember the scripture. Philippians 4 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. So immediately I say, this is nonsense. I will not stand for this. So I said, God, you send your word. I must not be anxious. It will not help me. But I ask you now, help me with my sermon. Help me with this I need to do. Help me with that. I bring it before you. It's for your glory in any case. Come do a great work. And devil, shut up. I won't listen to you. And you know what? That whole thing, that whole depression, this whole intimidation thing lasted 2 minutes. Gone. That was 8 o'clock and I had a blast of a day. Now, if you don't know the word, this is what's going to happen. And I feel depressed. You're going to go to work like this. How's it? Strong coffee, please. Okay? Now you go back for work. You're like, I'm not listening for gyms. You go home. Now you think tonight, why are you depressed? And you're like, maybe I must phone Tiens. So tomorrow you phone Tiens. He's like, Tiens, I want an appointment. Tiens says, you know what? I am busy next week. It's like, okay, next week. Now for a week you go on. And the devil loves you. He is just riding you. He's listening. The next thing. Now you worry about finances, then about relationships, then about your car, then about your work. Your work sucks, your boss sucks. He just loves you. He just feeds you. You just eat everything. After a week, you go to Tiens, and Tiens tell you, you know what? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And you pray together, and you're like, man, that's a week later. If you can just read the word and be established in the word, you sort it out. Second minute. Amen. Now, if you save for 1 week, all right? Okay, I'm with you. I'm with you there, okay? Maybe you've met someone in church. So when that depression comes, you phone, you say, hey, you spoke to me about repentance and all that peace you feel and righteousness, but now I'm telling you something. My car is breaking. I don't have 1 cent for food. And my girlfriend broke up with me because she says she doesn't know me anymore. Now, what now? Okay? So now you need to help that person. But at least because you made a one-to-one with him, you can help him. Amen? We need to be equipped with basic things. You know this. You can spread the gospel. Kenya mission, Evolved. I'm sure anyone can go on missions that can knows ABC. You know about the faith. You know how to share it. You know how to tell your testimony. You know that Jesus is the Savior and the Holy Spirit is powerful. You can go to Kenya, man. If you're not established, you're going to see your... Because if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and the enemy comes for you, he's going to clap you. So you must ask yourself the question, are you established in the faith? Or are you like a wave that is tossed by the wind this way, that way? You must ask yourself that. Be established. Be strong. Amen? Now, let me give you an illustration of what I would like to see happen in this congregation. Lambert, could you please come here? And three more people. Any three, please. That's the closest. Durban. Lambert, will you stand here? I need two more. Thanks. Jump. Just don't break something. Lambert, just stand there. You, Christ, arms open wide. I need more. I need two more. Yaku, will you stand here for me facing that way? Okay, now you're walking. Like one, like that. Right. Logan, you here. You look at Lambert, he's Jesus. Matthew, you here. Yeah. Facing that way. Okay. A bit back. There. You're walking, yeah, you're walking. So you must like pull the face and everything. Wade, you here. Now, this, what I'm showing you here is, go back to that little trapeze. You're walking that way, Wade. Mustn't look at me. Yeah. Okay. You know what? All of you can actually look at Jesus. Okay? Yeah. This is like a, okay. Now, what happens here is this person is seeking Christ. He's not at the cross yet. Okay, the cross is here by Logan. He is seeking Christ, but he's kind of working like, oh, what's going on with my life? What's going on with my life? You know, this girl doesn't make me happy. The tiger doesn't make me happy. But next week I go again to tiger. And then, but nothing happens. I don't want to go back to the tiger. I'm going to go back to the girls. And it just goes on. And you see, if you're on that side, we'll get there now, that this guy, he just needs the Lord. But one day, I'll leave that story there. I'll continue. That was episode one. Okay. Now, Logan is a person that was seeking Christ. Now, he met Christ. Shake his hand. Conversion. Okay. Lambert, hands up. Okay. He meets Christ. He is blood washed. Now, he can stay here. Kind and not grounded. Or he can go to growing or maturing in Christ. Let's put those two together. Now he's walking. He's not stopping here by being saved. Okay. He's walking on. He said, I want to grow. So he goes to church. He reads the word. He goes to a small group. He shares. Someone shares with him. There's a praying happening both ways. And he's growing. But he can grow more and become a person that applies discipline in their life and starts to see their identity in Christ. Now, grounding, if grounding in salvation, baptism, and the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit does not happen here and is not established in the church, he cannot move here. You cannot become more one with Christ if you're not building a foundation. It's like you could just go and build a house on nothing. It doesn't make sense. Okay? So, a lot of people stay here. Maybe coming to church when they feel like it. The sad thing is some people actually take steps back as well. God forbid, pass the cross. Okay? I don't know if this is possible if you really, really say it. I don't know. And the top theologians of the world will also tell you that there's a fight about it. I don't know. But there's definitely movement here. Do you agree with me? Now, Christians that follows Christ, he's got a heart for Christ. You know what they do? This guy comes back to the cross. Yaku, come closer. He takes Yaku, introduce yourself, and he introduces him to Christ. That's Christ. Yeah. Host. Then, what he does is, he comes from there, he walks with Yaku, and he takes them here. Now, both of them comes back. Takes him to Jesus, and walk with him through. Okay? What happens, just stand in your fours again from the start. This person here, that has just saved Logan here, if he steps over this line, come with me, Logan. He doesn't know zilch. He can go back and fetch someone already. He can't tell you about creation versus evolution and all that stuff, but he can go back. So this is happening the whole time. Bam, bam. You can sit down. Okay? Just to illustrate to you. Thanks, guys. So some of you know some of the Durban boys now. Some of them have been saved a bit longer, some shorter. But question. Let's take Matt for an example. Can Matt lead someone to God tonight? Teach them about baptism. Even though he's not baptized yet, he's going to be baptized at the end of the month. He can already take someone with him to the water. Because God designed it that way. If you one step ahead, one step, you can go. If we teach people otherwise, this church won't grow. If someone in this church believes, I can only minister, and that's actually next week's sermon, I can only minister when I am mature. You know what happens? You go to seminary school, you go to Bible school, 4 or 5 years. Now there's your friends in the world. They're all hanging here, this side from the cross. Now you're walking. I must get mature. Now, yeah, this is more like time goes by. You may meet new friends. Now you don't minister because you like study. After 4 years, there's no one you know that's unsaved. So now you start fighting with someone in church about a doctrine. Will Christ come first, or will first there be a sign of the beast? And you get caught up in nonsense like that. Because there's no one you can lead to God. Amen? Or you start like, yeah, you know what, our pastor's like this, or ourselves like that. You start talking nonsense. Because there's no one that you can testify to. It's a very sad place to be. That's why if you hear and you get saved, you must take so much friends you can with you. I led the most people to the Lord in the first 3 months of being saved in the courses. I've never led so many people to the Lord, even not being a pastor. Because it's where I was just, people saw me change. They say, what's up? I told them what's up. They said, I want to come as well. That's how it works. Now, maybe you don't have friends in the world anymore. You need to trust God that someone come to God, and you need to walk with them and make friends with their friends. And get out of our cliques a bit. Out of the same people that brise. And the same, we need to get out. Amen. And then one amen. You need to be open for new friends. Or there's never going, you're never going to lead someone to God. I hope I'm helping some of us tonight. Oh, this is basic. I love the basics. You know, we can talk about such intense spiritual stuff. But if we don't get this, we will not fulfill the Great Commission. We won't. So, if you look at number one, and you go to the next slide, that is number one. That's what I spoke about tonight. Faith, repentance, baptism, Holy Spirit. B, we talk about, just talk about family. We talk about friendship. We're talking about having something in common. It's Christ. And being established in the Word of God. You know, there's a church, very successful church. They say they want new people to only do two things as soon as possible. Guess what? They want to teach them two skills. What do you think it is? Anyone? Bam. If you can pray and read your Bible, the first week of being saved, even if you read the bits, the chances of you making it is a lot more. And how do you do that? How do you get someone going? The one way you can do it, you can say you must read your Bible and pray. And maybe some will do it. But I've learned if you don't show it to them, it won't happen. You need to make a Bible reading appointment. It can happen in cell as well. If you're playing yourself like that, you read the Bible together, you teach people how to read the Bible. It's our responsibility. If we don't do it, God will be mad with us. Thank you, Rudolph. Now, I'm gonna just back myself up there. Matthew 28. This is called the Great Omission from the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples, we know this, of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then what comes next? Neil, don't say. Some of us will know, but we kind of know this one. No, the previous one. We kind of know this. It's broken. We kind of know the part of going to the world and baptize people, telling them about God. But this one we leave out, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. So we get people saved. And we're like, oh, they'll find their way in church. They know where the church is. They know where cell is. I led someone to the Lord. Yeah, I'm actually kind of good, hot stuff. But the problem is, it does not stop. We must now teach them and instruct them in the ways of the Lord. And don't worry, you don't have to teach them the whole Bible. But if you can start with A, B, and C, as a cell leader, you are doing a good job. Amen. If you're in cell and you've got a friend, you know what? And they don't want to come to church, that's fine. Organize something at your house and speak about ABC. Take the Bible. I've got material, a lot of it. Share it with people, especially if they don't want to come to church, but they're willing to do it with you. You take them, you know, you can disciple someone even before they're saved. You can usher someone from this position into a place of salvation by sharing the word with them in love and care, not blasting them with it. Doesn't work. But once they come to Christ, it's our responsibility to teach people. And that's why we got the foundations as well to help us. Because if a lot of people come through those doors, we won't have the manpower to handle it one by one. So what do we have? We've got foundations. We're going to do it this week, Wednesday. Foundation one. We're organized in such a way so the whole church can come on cell night. And we're going to do the basics. We're going to speak about salvation. We're going to speak about the Holy Spirit. So it's a good place to bring someone. They're not coming to church. They're coming on a Wednesday night. Wednesday night church. Amen? Let's stand tonight. Won't you just, where you are, where you're standing, won't you just close your eyes and just take 2 minutes and just talk to God. Just talk to Him. I don't know what you want to tell Him. Anything. Just talk to Him. As we stand here with just our heart focused on God, I want you to almost envision God, you know, just as this awesome, loving, glorious Father. And I want you just to see everything else become extremely small. Like stuff like your salary check or your work. It's so small. Or even your friends. And God is massive. Just see Him there. He loves you, man. He calls you. He made you to be with Him. And He's ready to be with you. I want to ask you some self-facilitators to just come to the front and just hang here. But I want to ask you tonight. And it's a decision between you and God. This is my favorite time of the evening because this is what matters. Just as you're standing and the believers are praying. If you feel something tugging your heart, that is the Holy Spirit. And what He's doing is He is calling you out of the desert, Altus was speaking about. He's calling you out of a dry place into a place where there's life, into a place where there's peace. But you know what? No one can move you except you. And that's the fact of it. But I'm going to be very bold and extend the invitation. And if you are here tonight, You don't know if you're on the bus, off the bus. You don't even know whether you come or go. But what you know is that you want to start walking this road of the cross. You need to start. Maybe you were like at a good place, but you went back. And you feel tonight, you know what? I can do this. I must make this right. And you feel that tugging on your heart. It must come from you, not from me. And I want you to be bold. You know what? I'm not even going to ask anyone to raise their hands. But I'm going to make you a promise. And I can do this because the Bible says this. If you draw near to God tonight, He will draw near to you. That's what James 4 verse 8 says. And I'm going to challenge you here tonight. It's difficult because there's people here. But if you need to start over with God, I want to ask you to come to the front and stand here facing that way. Someone's going to pray with you. And I make this invitation specifically because if you can't stand here tonight, it's going to be difficult for you to stand out there in the world. Amen? But someone would love to pray with you and encourage you. You know, maybe you think, I've tried this God thing for too long. And every time it blows up in my face. I'm telling you, it won't blow up again. You trust God. You go for it. This house, this church will protect you if you want to be protected. Because there's love here. God is here. Is there anyone here tonight that wants to take a bold step and say, I'm starting? We're just going to stand and pray a bit. Maybe sing the song. And I'm going to give extended time for this. If you want to make that move, you're the most important person in this congregation tonight.